He invites you to take your Bible back there to Psalm 127. Psalm 127. This morning we're going to be talking about essentials to a healthy Christian home. Essentials to a healthy Christian home. Last week we were talking about nurturing healthy relationships. And today, about some of the principles here of a healthy Christian home. Psalm 127 and verse 1. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. A Christian home. I believe that from this verse, we can see clearly that a Christian home is a co-op. It's a co-op. You know, we have co-ops, businesses where it's, you know, supposed to be the people of the community, the people that the business services, they are in cooperation. They're maybe in some ways owners and that, and they work together, right, to get the job done, to get the product delivered and made and what have you. Well, the Christian home, God says here, is a co-op. Because it says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. And the Lord is not talking about, you know, two-by-fours and rafters and this kind of construction of building a house. Literally, he's talking about the construction of the family and building lives. Nurturing children, raising the next generation in the ways of the Lord. And God is saying that unless the Lord build the house, I imagine to a Jewish man who had perhaps like Joseph and Mary in the story of Christ's coming to this earth. And, you know, Joseph was espoused to Mary, right? And engaged, we might say today, and it was all set. They were getting married, and Joseph, as was custom for Jewish in the Jewish community, the man would go to prepare a place, right? Go to prepare a place for his bride, and then he would come again to receive her unto himself. And that Jewish man would go and he would build, he would construct something. And God is saying, as it were, to that man who's dreaming about his wife and his marriage and with love in his heart for this dear lady, as he builds that house, he's pounding the nails, as he saw on the boards in the sweat of his brow, God reminded him and said, except the Lord build the house, sir. Unless God is in it, you can labor, you can get up early, you can sit up late, but God is the one who needs to build the house. And so, to us, we recognize that we need God in our homes. We need Christ in our homes. And first of all, this morning, I've got 4 points to the message here today, and first of all, I would like to encourage you with this essential to a healthy Christian home, is that we need a real biblical faith. A real biblical faith. That's pretty simple. These aren't high-tech, extravagant points. They're simple, they're foundational, they're essential. And we need a real biblical faith. You see, in our society, in the United States of America, we are generally a Christian society. I know that's eroding very much so, and there is definitely a growing population that are basically pagan, you know, or some other religion that is not Christian. But you know what? In our society, although it's popular to be a Christian for the most part, many people would identify that way, or many homes would say, oh yeah, we're a Christian home. But I want to encourage you that it's not just a name that we need to carry around to say, oh yeah, you know, I'm a Christian. But we need a real biblical faith in our homes. That's in daily life. You know, it's not about just, oh yeah, I attend church, I'm a Christian. Well, yes, if you're a Christian, you should attend church. But because God designed the church and all that. But But it's not about just attending church. You can attend church and not have a Christian home, right? And so we're talking about a healthy Christian home. An essential element is a real biblical faith, that we are truly following the Word of God in daily life, and that we are applying the teachings of God's Word to Monday's schedule and Monday's activities and Tuesdays and Wednesdays and Thursdays and Fridays and Friday nights and Saturdays, whatever the case, whatever the activity might be, that we are actually applying the principles and the truths of God's Word to daily life, a real biblical faith. And so it's not enough to say we're Christians. We truly need to follow Christ and the Word of God, Christ's holy word. The Bible tells us, let's go over to the book of Joshua. Could we do that over in the Old Testament here? Joshua and chapter 1. Joshua was a new leader. Moses has died, and he was a faithful leader for the people of Israel, for the people of God. And Joshua is now installed by God as the leader of the nation. And so, let's notice Joshua chapter 1. Please notice verse 1, first of all. It says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel." So God says, Moses is no longer, my servant on earth. And he says, Joshua, here's what I want you to do. You need to move forward. You need to continue doing my will. You need to move forward and possess the land which I promised to you. Now, I want you to just skip forward here to verse 7. God continues to encourage Joshua. Chapter 1, verse 7. "Only be thou strong, Joshua, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee." You see, at this time, you know, right now we hold our Bible here, and you have a smaller side and a bigger side, do you? Yeah. You know what? The bigger side, they didn't have. The smaller side, they had. They didn't have this yet. And God says to Joshua, hey, you need to read it. You need to do it. And so let's think about that as we read this portion of Scripture. Verse 6, "Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land." Verse 7, "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it." From what? From the law of God, from the word of God. "Turn not from it to the right hand, nor to the left." I mean, let's not take it to an extreme one way or the other. Let's not neglect it. Let's not take it farther than it should go. Let's just follow what God truly teaches. "Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest." In our homes, we don't want to run to extremes one way or the other. We just want to honor God. We just want to walk in the biblical faith. We want to apply God's timeless truths to daily life. We want to follow the Lord, do His will in our home. And that's what God is saying here to Joshua as a leader of the nation of Israel, that they would observe to do all of what God said. You know, like I said just in a moment ago, it's popular for the most part to be a Christian or to say you're a Christian. But yet we have in our society, we have even Christian people who would profess to be a Christian that they're following a different Christ. I mean, they're not following the Christ of the Bible necessarily. They're following maybe a Christ that they've that's sort of an imagination of man's mind that's not true to the biblical description of the Word of God. But we want to follow what God says. You know, I preached a message one time titled, "There Are Ditches on Both Sides of the Road." There are ditches on both sides of the road. We don't want to be in either of them. We don't want to be in the, you know, in the left-hand ditch or the right-hand ditch. We want to follow God. And that's what God says to Joshua here. And now notice verse 8. He says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein." You see, God's desire for us as a family is for us to meditate on God's Word, for us to actually take the Word of God and read it in our homes, to study it in our homes, to teach it to our children. God's desire is that we would pray together as a family, that we would, you know, whether it's at bedtime or at lunch or all of those times, that we would pray in the morning when we get up and share God's Word and really seek God and apply His Word to daily life. A real biblical faith. That's what God's desire is. And God says to Joshua here in verse 8, that He wants him to meditate in God's Word day and night. That's to really think it over, to really ponder it, for it to be on the mind. Often, cows are used as an illustration, a literal illustration for what it means to meditate. Cows eat their food quickly, and then they find a place usually to lie down, and then they meditate on what they ate. We call it chewing the cud. It's a little bit gross, but that's how God made them. But that's an illustration for meditating. It's not just the eating quickly and going on our way, but it's thinking as we go on our way of what we read or what we heard. Meditate day and night. And notice what God says. There's a special promise here. Verse 8, the last part of the verse, it says, "For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." God says here that this is the way of blessing. The way of blessing. And so, in our homes, an essential element to a healthy Christian home is a real biblical faith. That we are following the Lord, that we're applying the Scripture. The Bible says about itself in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17, it says, "All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God." Inspiration literally means breath. So all of the Bible is given by the breath of God. He gave His Word. He gave His Word, His living Word. And God says about it that not only is it given by inspiration of God, but it says in verse 16 that it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. God says, "I've given my word. By my own breath, I gave it. I am the author. I've given my word. And it's profitable for doctrine." That's what is right. It's profitable for reproof. That's what's wrong. It's profitable for correction. That's how to get our wrongs right. You know, when you get stuck in the ditch, You need help to get out. And correction helps us get out. And then instruction in righteousness is how to stay right, how to stay out of the ditch. And God's Word is profitable so that we can be mature, so that we can be complete, so we can truly have a home that's structured around the teachings of the Word of God. A biblical home, a truly Christian home, where the Word of God is truly guiding daily life, and where the presence of Christ is recognized. And so a truly Christian home is a home where God's word is applied to daily life, a real biblical faith. The word of God says in Psalm 119, verse 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Let's say that verse together. Psalm 119, 105. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Let's say that one more time. Psalm 105. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Another portion of scripture we know pretty well is Proverbs 3, which tells us to trust the Lord with all thine heart, to lean not unto thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Verse 7 says, "Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." God wants us to trust him. A real biblical faith is an essential element to a Christian home. That we do apply the Bible, that we read the Bible, and grow to know and love the Lord more and more every day. Secondly, I would like you to notice this morning that God's desire is not that we would just have a real biblical faith, but secondly, that we would have a serious obedience to Christ. These two go hand in hand, certainly. A serious obedience to Christ. I want you to notice what God said to Joshua in verse 8. He says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night." Now help me, would you? "That thou mayest observe to do." Observe to do. God says, I want you to know my word so that you can do my word. You know what breaks down a Christian home more than anything? Is when we have the word, but we don't do the word. God said, "Be ye doers of the word," in the book of James. "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." It is critical that we are serious about obedience to follow the Lord. I know that there is nothing that probably provokes children to wrath more than anything than if they hear us saying, you know, "Do what I say, not what I do." You know, they hear the instructions maybe. Or they hear, you know, us read it, but they don't see us doing it. Now, none of us are perfect. And I would lead that group. None of us are perfect. We need God. And with a humble approach, we can say, Lord, help me. And with our children, we can be honest and say, I need God's help. We together need to follow the Lord. And so a serious obedience to Christ. Would you turn over with me to Mark chapter 3, the Gospel of Mark and chapter 3. God is so blatant in his teaching here, his warning. Mark 3, notice verse 24 and 25. He says this. Mark chapter 3, now verse 24, Jesus speaking. He says, "And if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand." That's just very practical warning. That if there's division in our home, if we're trying to go different directions, if there's not a unity in wanting to follow the Lord, in seeking God and trusting God with the challenges, it does provide a tension and a crack and a compromise that hurts the home. And God says a house divided against itself cannot stand. It will break apart. And it's tragic at times to see that when a home falls apart or a marriage falls apart. When that happens, it's tragic. And God encourages us to seek Him and to work together to have a Christ-honoring marriage and a Christ-honoring home. And so serious obedience to Christ is an essential element to a healthy Christian home. Not only a real biblical faith, not just in name, but a real biblical faith by mom, by dad, and passed on to the children. And a serious obedience to Christ by dad, by mom. I want you to notice Colossians chapter 3. Keep you turning here a little bit. Colossians chapter 3. I'd like you to notice verse 18 through 21. God gives just a little capsule here of some, you might say, one-liner instructions. Okay? Referring to the home and the family. Colossians 3, verse 18. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. And now notice verse 21 as well. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. And so we have all these little capsules of very precious instruction God gives to us for the family. We need a serious obedience to Christ, that our home would not be divided against itself, but that we would be heading in the same direction. That that verse 21 catches my eye a little bit because I'm a father, and God says that we need to have consistency and love, that we are not provoking our children to anger by inconsistency, by that do what I say, not what I do. That bad example can definitely bring discouragement or disdain in the children's lives, to the Lord in many cases. And so that's why we need serious obedience to Christ. Essentials to a healthy Christian home. Thirdly, I'd like you to see this morning that we need a loving, nurtured marriage and family. If we're going to have a healthy Christian home, not only do we need a real biblical faith, a serious obedience to Christ, but a loving, nurtured marriage and family. A lovingly nurtured marriage and family. Titus chapter 2 is a place I'd like to take you. That's just a few pages back from where we were in Colossians. Titus chapter 2 and verse 4. Here's some instruction that God gives to older women to teach younger women. And we're jumping into the middle of that. But in verse 4 of Titus 2, God says that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. And so this is instruction to the wife, to a young wife. They are to learn to love their husbands. They're to learn to love their children. And now I would like to take you to another passage, which we'll park at for a little while, and that's Ephesians 5. Ephesians. Thank you for turning. I know that I've been cruising through a few passages, but we're going to stay in Ephesians for the next couple of minutes until we're done. All right? And so Ephesians 5, let's begin now with verse 25. Ephesians 5, verse 25. Husbands, next word, love. Husbands, love your wives. And we just read in Titus how wives are to love their husbands and love their children. And this isn't rocket science. I mean, this isn't something surprising. We know that God is love. We know that God wants us to love one another. I mean, he even wants us to love our enemies. Hopefully that's not your wife. Right? But even if it is, you still need to know. But you know what I mean? God wants us to love. How much more, if he wants us to love our enemies and love our neighbor and all that, how much more does he not want us to love those we live with? And yet those we live with are often the hardest to love. We know them so well. They rub us so wrong, right? But God makes it clear that a home needs to be a loving place. A loving place. We need God's help, right? Remember the verse we started with? Except the Lord build the house, sir, ma'am. Except the Lord build the house. We reminded that it's a what was that word? A co-op? A cooperation, right? We need God. We can't have a Christian home without Christ. It will flop. It will fail. And so not only a real biblical faith, a serious obedience to Christ, but a lovingly nurtured marriage and family. A lovingly nurtured marriage and family. We're here in verse 25 of Ephesians chapter 5. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. Whoa. That's a tall order right there. As Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Wow. That's a high calling right there. That is quite a word of instruction. And yet, God will give us the grace, the ability to do that as we seek him for it. God always gives us what we need to obey when we step forward in faith to obey, when we step forward trusting him. And so, love in our homes is what God desires. Notice verse 28 of Ephesians 5. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. Wow, that's pretty descriptive there. We are to love our wives as our own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. I wrote here in my Bible, the best thing you can do for yourself is to love your wife. That's what God says. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Happy wife, happy life, right? And that's important for us to love our wives. And I'll skip down a few other verses here. Verse 33. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife. Wow, is God emphasizing something here? You know, love your wife, love your wife, love your wife. Verse 33. Even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. And so, we see God's important instructions for the home environment to be a loving, nurturing place where mom and dad love one another and treat one another with kindness and care, where the children are loved and cared for. This is the kind of home that God wants us to have. Love, the Bible tells us in, I won't have you turn there, but in 1 Corinthians 13, the Bible tells us that love is kind. Love is kind. In so many words, it tells us there that love is gentle, that love is forgiving, that love is not selfish, not proud. Love. God wants love in our homes. A Christian home is a home that has the love of God in it. And so I believe this is essential to a healthy Christian home. For a home without love is no home at all. It's really no home at all. It maybe is a house, but it's not a home. Love is essential. The love of God, shared even when we are sometimes unlovely, is essential. And so consider that. I'd like you to notice here in Ephesians chapter 6 now, some instructions God gives here Ephesians 6. Please notice verse 1. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth." Verse 4, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath." There we see that similar warning and instruction that we saw in Colossians. "Ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but," what are we supposed to do? "Bring them up," that's the children, "bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." The home is to be a place not where we just don't fight, but a place where we are nurturing and admonishing one another in love and in the ways of the Lord. Where we're teaching. Nurture means to lovingly train. Nurture means to lovingly train and to discipline lovingly. It literally means, nurture literally means to nourish or care for one's needs, to encourage, to foster. The word admonish means to exhort. The idea here is sober instruction, specifically in the ways of the Lord, in the things of the Lord. Our children need us as a mom and a dad, and particularly the Bible talks about dad, needs us as fathers to hold the line for our children. You notice God says here in verse 4, "Ye fathers." It's not saying "ye fathers and mothers," although certainly mother is not excused from training the children in the ways of the Lord. In fact, the Bible does give that instruction. But ultimately, the responsibility of guiding the home, of leading the home, it falls on dad's lap. That we would guide the home, that we would toe the line for the family, that we would read the Bible to the family, that we would instruct them and seek to be a godly, loving example, to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Remember, it's a cooperation. Us seeking God to build our house. We need Him. And lastly, I'll just briefly talk about this. Fourthly, we need to an embracing of biblical roles and responsibilities. An embracing of biblical roles and responsibilities. God makes it very clear, children aren't to run the home. Mom and dad are. And dad is responsible, certainly, ultimately. And mom and dad need to work together, right? Lovingly. And to provide a loving home. And the Bible specifically talks to us how the husband is to be the head of his home. That is, lovingly leading, serving, and caring for his wife and family. The wife is instructed in the Word of God to be the helpmeet, to lovingly follow, serve, and care for her husband and her family. The children, without doubt, are instructed to honor their mom and dad and to obey and respect them, to learn, to serve, and to work together in their home for the benefit of the family. A home, a truly Christian home, is a home where God's word is treasured, where God's word is obeyed, and where there is love. And so this morning, I encourage you with these essential elements to a healthy Christian home, a real biblical faith, a serious obedience to Christ, a lovingly nurtured marriage and family, and an embracing of biblical roles and responsibilities. Is your home a Christian home? What needs to change? What is God encouraging us in this morning? Remember, unless the Lord build the house, we do need God's help. Christ needs to have a prominent place in the Christian home. Take my life and let it be. Are we yielded to the Lord to let God use us to to fulfill the responsibility he's entrusted to us? Lord, we thank you for your word, and we recognize that we need your help to have truly a healthy Christian home, healthy Christian marriage. And Lord, I pray that you would just work, that we would give our attention to your word in daily life with sincere obedience and the application of your word. Lord, I pray that you'd help there to be love shared by one and all in our homes. Lord, as we navigate through challenges and daily life can definitely throw us some difficult situations, and I pray that you'd help us to work through them lovingly with kindness. And Lord, I pray that you would just give wisdom to each of us as parents here, and I pray that you would bless and guide our homes. We thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen.